is, come on, you can do better than that. I know Selma has more. Come on. That's right. That's right. Absolutely. I knew there was more in Selma than just that little weak thing. Hallelujah. That was much better. So let's just go for it. First of all, if you came in this evening and you had any kind of problem in your body, you had any kind of pain, anything that was wrong with you, and during worship tonight, something happened to you, you got touched in some way, and you would say that you're 80% better. You don't have to be 100%. You only have to be 80% better than you were when you walked in here. I want you to wave your hands like this. Anybody at all? Look at that. Come on. Keep waving your hands. There's one. There's two. There's three. There's four right there. Come on. Somebody praise God, will you? Come on. Now, those of you that got healed, I want you to come up and give us a testimony. So we're going to do some testimonies right off. We're going to recognize what God is doing. So if you would, if you got healed or touched in some way during worship, come on up here right now and give a testimony. Give glory to God for what He's done in your life. We want Jesus to receive glory. This isn't about Luke or me or anybody else. This is about Jesus receiving glory. So just what we want you to share briefly is what was wrong with you, what happened, and how you're feeling now. And when you talk about pain, we talk about it on a scale of 0 to 10. 10 being, it's awful, it's just absolutely can't stand it. 0 meaning no pain whatsoever. So go ahead, give your first name and give your testimony.
Okay. I've been struggling for, especially for the last few weeks, with just some strongholds that I knew were standing between God and I. And I've been praying out to Him to break them down. And this morning, Bishop prayed for me, and then I spoke with Father Mark about some things. And there was worshiping.
Amen. Come on, praise God, will you? Awesome. All right, go ahead.
I'm Jane Olman. I went here for the rest of the week. This morning, I started this morning, I had a backache in my lower back. I worked at a restaurant, so I was on my feet all lunch, sore back, and somewhere between Hoover, Alabama, and worship, I'm fine.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on.
Wanted to bless me and reach me deeply as his daughter, that I was to cast off the sense of being only a servant and receive what he has for me, receive freely as his daughter. And as he did that and continued to do that, I felt a sense of huge burden just roll off my body, off my back, off the muscles off my back. And by the time he was done, I went from, let's say, about an 8 in back pain, upper and lower, to 0.
Amen.
And I always called him Daddy, too, because he's so full of the love of Daddy Bob.
palpable. Amen. Amen. Hey, is there anybody, stay here, Mark, I'm not done with you yet. Is there anybody that was here at the conference today that got healed that would like to give a testimony, real quick testimony of how God healed you physically? Is there anybody here at all? Come on. Come on. Come on down. Yes, you can bring baby. Come on down. Awesome. Bring them all. Hallelujah. He's destined to be a preacher.
I am grateful to God for because I have my pastor and witnesses for me. We have been praying for him because he has been having some really bad constipation, and he was on a prescription.
It's a big deal. Come on. That's awesome. Yeah, Jesus. Bowel movements are very important to the maintenance of healthy life. Could we have an agreement in the room? Yeah. Amen. So we give thanks to God. Anybody else before we move on? That's great. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, well, we're going to have some more testimonies tonight then. So anyway, keep hold of that microphone, young man. You're going to need it later. So today in our session, we talked about the biblical basis for healing and how important healing is to the whole understanding of the kingdom of God, of why Jesus came, that indeed God Himself, one of His first identifiers was as the God who heals. And what's interesting, there's a book called The Christianizing of the Roman Empire. For those of you the history buffs, it's written by a guy by the name of Randy McMullen. And in that book, he talks about how was it that this fledgling little group of people that were following a crucified person ended up absolutely overtaking the Roman Empire. And down through the centuries, there's been lots of speculation about, well, it's because of the way that they spoke and their arguments and their good writing and all this other stuff. And McMullen, in his book, which is just it's a brilliant yet it's a very easy history to read, comes to the conclusion that no, it really wasn't about how brilliant they were. It wasn't because they out-argued the Roman philosophers and the Greek philosophers and things like that, but it was because the Roman people saw the power of God through healing and through the casting out of demons. And they saw that Christians actually cared for the poor and for the broken. And it was those three things, care for the poor and broken, and the exhibiting of the power of God through healing, miracles, and casting out of demons, that the entire Roman Empire began to be Christianized. Now, I'm sure none of you learned that in Sunday school, did you? None of you learned that in most church, but that's the reality of it. There was a Roman god, one of the last Roman gods to come down in the Roman culture, was a Roman god named Asclepius. And Asclepius was actually the god of healing, physicians, and rejuvenation. And if you've ever been in a doctor's office and you've seen the staff with the snake twirled around it, how many of you have seen that? That's actually a symbol of the Roman god Asclepius. That was his symbol. And so when that god came down in the Roman Empire, that was the end of the worship of other gods, because that god was the last one. And it's interesting that within our society today, that most of the things that we talk about in our society, beyond all the bad news that's currently on, but most of the things we talk about in our society is either money or it's health. If you think about it, most of the ads on TV are either about banks or they're about the latest prescription medication that takes half of the commercial to tell you about all the side effects, right? Is that right? And or there are two people sitting in a bathtub and you don't want your kids to watch that, right? I mean, it's just trying to watch those commercials with a child is a whole nother level of embarrassment. But anyway, it's interesting because throughout all of history, healing and health has always been such a major thing, because obviously it affects everyone. And it's interesting to me that this, one of the greatest empires on the face of the earth, was brought down and became Christian because God's people, who were empowered by the Spirit, modeled and demonstrated the power of God through healing, through miracles, and through the casting out of demons. So tonight I want to take you on a little bit of a journey of how important healing is to the understanding of the glory of God, and how the glory of God and healing are very much linked together. I believe that everybody in this room wants God to receive all the glory that He deserves. Is that right? Would you agree with that? And so many times when we think about glory, we relegate glory to something that we say. We say glory to God in the highest. We sing the doxology. We sing songs about glory. We say glory to God. But the reality is that the greatest glory that God gets from our lives is what we demonstrate of His reality in our lives. I'm not sure exactly where I said this, because I've been in a bunch of churches this week. So if I repeat myself, please forgive me. A lot of you have never met me before, so I think I'm safe with all of you. But one of the things we need to understand is this. The world that we are the most cognizant of in our own minds and in our hearts is the world that we will represent to the rest of the world. The reality that we live in and that we believe is the primary focus and source of our life is the reality that we will express with our lives. What do I mean by that? I mean, well, there's really two realities. There's the reality of this world, that you and I, what we see and hear and taste and smell and feel. And then there's the reality of the kingdom of God. And the reality of kingdom of God is a superior reality to this world. You know how I know that? I know that because the testimony of Scripture said that this world is passing away. That everything that you can see, hear, taste, smell, or feel is all temporal. It's not going to last forever. But it says of the kingdom of God in Isaiah chapter 9 that of the increase of His government there will be no end. So the reality of the kingdom of God is a superior reality. And when Jesus declared in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." What he was saying is, if you keep your focus on all these things, you're actually focusing your life on an inferior reality. You're putting your tent pegs down into an inferior reality that's all going to pass away. So what I'm calling you to, for those of you that are called to follow me, and I'm speaking as Jesus, is I'm calling you to make the kingdom of God the organizing principle of your life. That everything that you do, every issue of your life, everything that surrounds your life becomes the hub of your life and the organizing principle. That when you seek first my kingdom, when you seek me and you seek the glory that is on me, then everything that you need in life and everything that you will ever have a desire for will come to you. And so you can walk in peace because you've allowed the kingdom of God to become the organizing principle of your life. You know, I when I teach some of this to my students at Global School of Supernatural Ministry, I said, you know, think of a big sunflower. You know how the sunflower has that big thing in the middle? And I'm one of these days I'm going to find a horticulturist that know, tell me what that big thing is in the middle. What's it called? It's all seeds. But it's called something. And one of these days I'll figure it out. But anyway, there's something in the middle, and then there's all these petals that go around it. And I want you, if you would see the kingdom of God as that thing in the middle, and the petals all around it are things like your finances, your family, your hobbies, your work, your married life, all of the things that are the important parts of your life. And if you could begin to see your life ordered around the kingdom of God, then here's the amazing thing. You would find your life fully integrated, fully connected all together. And that's what Jesus means by seeking first the kingdom of God. So when we think about healing and how it relates to the glory of God, we have to realize that when we not only believe in healing, but when we go after healing, we're bringing the superior reality of the kingdom of God to bear in our everyday see, feel, hear, smell, taste, life. That we are seeing God break through, and that we begin to see God actually begin to touch mortal bodies, begin to touch frail human flesh, and begin to see transformation of that frail human flesh by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. Earlier today, one of our worship leaders was singing, "There is power in the name of Jesus." You know, I'm supposed to sing it. "There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain." See, it's in the power of the name of Jesus when we declare it, as the bishop was so wonderfully leading us in worship tonight, that breaks every chain that the enemy brings our way. And in that sense, God receives the greatest glory. So open your Bibles with me, if you would. And let's take a look at John chapter 1 first. And talk about an understanding of how Jesus is glorified and how the Father is glorified through what happens when we bring healing. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 14. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, This was He of Him who I said, He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for He existed before me. For of His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through the Lord Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. Now, if you were to go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, John, the writer of the same gospel, in his letter to one of the churches, he gets into very graphic detail. He says, "We saw Him and we handled Him." I mean, literally, we handled this glory. That it was very important for John to tell that church about that, because there was a lie going around the church at that time that Jesus, because He was fully God, didn't actually come in the flesh. That He was kind of the Spirit that kind of floated over the surface of things, and He never really touched the ground. Because after all, if He was fully God, very God, and after all, the earth was corrupt, fully God couldn't touch corrupt earth. And that's the glory of the incarnation, is that the glory of God came into human flesh. And not only is it a glorious mystery, but it's also a tremendous message that God cares about human flesh. Somebody needs to say more and amen to that. That's a glorious thing. God cares about His creation. He cares about human flesh. He really does care about what happens to our bodies. You see, it's a Greek thing that we think that somehow, oh, I shouldn't have to care about my body. You know, it's all going to just, you know, go to dust and everything like that. I want to tell you, that's a Greek concept, not a biblical concept. The biblical concept is concerned about the whole person, the spirit, soul, and body of a person. That's why there's a Greek word that refers to both salvation, it refers to healing, and refers to deliverance. And that word is sozo, S-O-Z-O. And it refers to salvation of the spirit, which is, you know, your spirit saved. It also refers to deliverance of the mind, and it also refers to healing of the body. So, when God brought His glory into the flesh of His Son, He said to the world, "I really do care about your human flesh. I made your human flesh to be perfect, and all that's happened to it from the time of creation until my Son came was not part of my perfect will. All of the sickness, all of the disease, all of the trauma, all of the injury, all of the weakness of human flesh was never part of my original plan. So I sent my Son in human flesh with my glory in Him to show you what it's like for my original creation to walk the earth again." That's why Jesus was called the second Adam. Now, why is that important for healing? Because we need to understand that every time someone receives healing in their body from anything, any shape or form, then the next question is, where does the source of that power come from? Where does the source of that healing come from? And there's all sorts of people in the world today that believe that healing comes from, you know, the medical doctors, and it comes from medicine, and it comes from New Age techniques, and it comes from touch, and it comes from all sorts of different things. It comes from, you know, smelling different oils and you know, doing different moves with your body and things like that. And all of those are of the inferior reality that I just talked with you about. All of those, there may come some degree of healing in that. But for us, because we understand that God made this body is not an accident of nature. It's not a creation of evolution. We believe that this body is actually a perfect creation of God, that it says in Psalm chapter 8 that man is the crown of God's creation. Turn to somebody and say, "You're the crown of God's creation." Would you do that? You're the crown of God's creation. So why am I belaboring this point, you may ask, in a school of healing? Because I want you to understand that many of us have shortchanged God in asking and continuing to ask for the impossible to happen with our lives. And that is for our bodies to be completely healed, completely restored, completely transformed. See, Bill Johnson says it so perfectly. He says, someone who is a disciple of Jesus Christ must have an appetite for the impossible. That whenever they see something that's not in alignment with the way God originally made us to be, that it's not in alignment with the revealed purpose of God for mankind, no matter how impossible it may be to change that, the reality is that we as disciples of Jesus Christ have been given a commission to change that, to bring transformation to that, and bring whatever's happening with that person back into the alignment of the original creation and purpose of God for that person's life. No matter how impossible that may be. You may look at somebody and say, how in the world could anything good come out of this situation? How in the world can this situation be redeemed? You know, in the Lord of the Rings, there's this, and I think it's in the Two Towers, that Samwise Gamgee Frodo, they're in that city and they're just at a place, it's just really at one of the darkest times, and they're starting to lose, Frodo's starting to lose grip on reality because the ring is starting to kind of overtake him, and Frodo and Samwise Gamgee get into this huge fight, and it's almost looks like it's going to be just a really bad situation. And Samwise Gamgee begins to talk with Frodo about the stories of old and about, you know, the time that people felt like giving up and how could it ever be good again? How could it ever be as good as it was before? And you know, many of us look at our lives and we look at the things that we've been through and the things that have happened to us, whether they be in disease or whether they be in trauma, whether it be an injury or whether it be through just our own poor choices. And we look at our lives and we say, how could it ever be good again? And the gospel of the kingdom that brings glory to God says, you know what? It can not only be good again, but it can be better than everything that you could ever imagine. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 3:20 and 21 says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think, according to the riches of His power that is working in us. So there is a glory when we come to Jesus Christ that works in us, that will produce a result in us, that we will become greater, more beautiful and glorious than we could ever possibly imagine because of the riches of His glory that is in us. And by doing so, we also become great conduits of His glory. One of the things that I talked about Sunday here, and I talked again this afternoon if you weren't here, is that God's purpose for you and I is that we see our lives as conduits of God's purposes of heaven coming down to earth. That everywhere we go, we bring heaven. Everywhere we go, we bring the purpose of God onto the earth. This is why we pray in that perfect prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's just not a general prayer for the nation or for the world or for the city or for our neighborhood. That's a personal prayer where I'm saying, God, let Your kingdom come. Let Your will be done in Mike Hutchings' life today, right now. And let heaven come through Mike Hutchings today. When you begin to see that reality, then you're beginning to get an understanding of the superior reality that you're actually walking in. Turn with me to John chapter 14, if you would. John chapter 14. One of the things, then, for those of you that weren't here today, I was brought up Baptist. Praise God for the Baptists. They have a love for the Word. And so I'm so thankful that that was instilled in my heart many years ago. But one of the things we always talked about, what we said it in Sunday school, we even said it in church, how wonderful it would have been to be back with Jesus and the disciples when they walked along the sea, shore of the Sea of Galilee, and they were in Jerusalem and Galilee and all these other places. And oh, how we wish we could be there. And then I began to read what the Bible had to say about what we were supposed to be living in. And I began to read that, you know what? I think the disciples are jealous of us. Because even though they had Jesus in the flesh, Jesus said, it's good for you that I go away. Because I'm going to send a helper and he's going to lead you into things that I can't even tell you about. That's later on in this chapter. But I want you to read John chapter 14 with me, beginning at verse 12. Very familiar passage. He's saying, you know what? You need to... Well, actually, let's go up to verse 10. It says, Jesus is saying, do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I don't speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does His works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe on the account of the works themselves. Now, this is a very, very important point. It's okay that people only believe because they see miracles and healing happen. Because it's the miracles and healing that demonstrate the goodness of God. And it, when you see somebody really get healed supernaturally, it puts a hook in your jaw. How many of you know what I'm talking about here? It puts a hook in your jaw and you say, what just happened there? And you want to say, you know, I want to get a little closer and find out a little bit more about what's happening here. And pretty soon, all the things that you never dared to believe about God actually are coming to light and they're becoming reality. And all of a sudden, all the dreams that you prayed about, that maybe that's real about God, all of a sudden, it's real. God does heal the sick. It's real. God does raise the dead. It's real. In an instant, somebody can have the shackles of addiction come off of them and they can be completely free in an instant. It's real. It's real. It's real, and it's in the midst of that that God begins to receive glory, because all of a sudden our lives begin to reflect the glory that He's showing us in the midst of the works. Now look here in verse 12. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I made this statement the other day, and I'll make it again because it's controversial, and you theologians will have to work through it. Jesus never addressed the subject of unanswered prayer because he didn't believe they existed. I'll say it one more time because I saw some people actually look up at me when I said it. Jesus never addressed the subject of unanswered prayer because he didn't believe they existed. He said, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And it's interesting to me here that he says, when you go out and do my works, and when you ask me for the impossible in my name, the Father is glorified in the Son. Now, because we are following the Son, when we do the works that He was doing, and we actually do greater works than He was doing, which is possible, and by the way, that's not just greater works in quantity, but it's actually greater works in quality. Some of you are going to have trouble with that, because after all, this is Jesus, Son of God, right? But the word there is about greater in quality, not just quantity. You know how I know that? Was because they had a whole world to win. All Jesus had to do was just be there, and He was just given to the Jewish people. But these disciples were commissioned to go out and win a whole world. So they needed to learn how to do greater works. And guess what? The same commission that is on them is on us to do the greater works. And when we do the greater works, the Father is glorified in the Son. So I was raised by a man who dearly loved me, but he had a twisted view of God. And my father, I was an only child. And my father, although he would pray, he always told me, Mike, we're never to pray for anything physical or financial. We're only to pray for spiritual things. And that twisted me because I really didn't know how to pray for spiritual things except to ask for forgiveness and ask for peace and things like that. But beyond that, my prayer life was pretty empty. Because after a while, what other spiritual things do I have to pray for? And my dad just had this unfortunate, twisted view of God that we weren't to pray for anything physical because that was just wrong. And you know, he loved God and he loved me and he died and he's in heaven today. But I had to get that twist out of my head because it was this idea that somehow it was unspiritual to ask for things like money. It was unspiritual to ask for things like healing. It was unspiritual to ask for things that I really needed, to ask for favor at work, to ask for promotions, to ask for things like that. And I had to get that twist out of my head, and I've met a lot of people who have that same twist about God, that they're afraid to come to God and ask God for things, for real, physical, tangible things, because they're afraid it's too unspiritual. And I want to say to you folks, there's nothing unspiritual about coming to your father and say, Daddy, please help me. Please help me because I don't have enough money to pay the bill this month. Daddy, please help me because my little boy needs to have a bowel movement. God, Daddy, please help me because my body is sick and I need to be healed. Daddy, please help me because, and you go on and on and on again. Because you see, God gets amazing glory out of the fact that when we ask Him for, what does it say? Anything in my name. Not only will Jesus do it, but the Father gets glory by answering the prayer. Now, if that doesn't raise your level of faith, it needs to. Because there should begin, and I'm sensing in the room right now, there's a rising hunger rising up to ask more from God than what we've ever asked Him before. Because the reason why the bishop loves me, I know he does. He may not invite me after this, but anyway, we'll go back again, but I'll go after this. The reason why we don't give more glory to God is because we treat God like He's a cheapskate. We treat Him just like He doesn't really care about us, or that when we do ask Him, He gives to us in dribs and drabs. Or He gives to us grudgingly. He gives to us sparingly. Now, I don't care what your experience has been with God up to this point. What my Bible reads and what Mark just read for the offering out of Psalm 67 is that when God is gracious to us and blesses us, then all the nations see God in His glory. And when we get blessed out of our socks, it becomes not something that we rest on and say, what a great person I am, but instead we point the finger at God and say, what an amazing, gracious, blessing God He is. He's pouring out His blessing upon us. And then we begin to do the greater works through those blessing as many people as we possibly can. That demonstrates the goodness of our God. That demonstrates the fact that He really does care for fragile human flesh. And He especially cares for His sons and daughters. He is a good and loving and faithful Father. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11, if you would, please. It says in verse 5, suppose one of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he shall answer and say, don't bother me. The door has already been shut. My children are in bed and I cannot get up and give you anything. Now once again, Jesus is telling a parable. I tell you that even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it shall be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In Matthew 7 it says, will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask of him? Now I don't care, guys, I don't care what your past experience in this is about. I want you to get a shift in your thinking that every time that you go to God asking Him for something, it's no longer about just your need or the need of your family around you, but there is a greater thing, purpose, that God wants to accomplish here, and that is to get glory out of your life because of the impossible thing that you're asking for, that God's going to come down and meet that need and meet that prayer and bring an answer to what you're asking and seeking and knocking for. And the glory of God comes into your life and it begins to spread all around you. And your circle of influence begins to be covered by the glory of God because you've demonstrated the goodness of God through continuing to ask, to seek, and to knock. Now, the question always comes, well, why do we have to keep asking, seeking, and knocking? All I can tell you is what I believe is my experience. The times that I have asked and then I gave up asking, the times that I kept seeking and I quit seeking, the times that I knocked a couple of times that I quit knocking, I believe exposed something in my own heart that I was more concerned about getting what I needed, and I looked at God as like a heavenly Santa Claus. I looked at Him as somebody like something that I could go to get what I needed and then walk away from. But the reality is, when I keep asking, when I keep seeking, I keep knocking, I draw closer to Him. I begin to be more intimate with Him. I'm no longer just working on the acts of God, but now I'm beginning to understand the ways of God. And it brings a patience in my life. It brings a perseverance in my life. And pretty soon, my need is taken over by the fact that I just want to keep knowing this God, and I want to keep pressing into Him, and I want to keep loving Him, and I want to keep knowing His ways. It says about the children of Israel, they knew the acts of God, but Moses knew the ways of God. Why is that? Because Moses kept coming over and over and over and over and over and over and over again to seek the face of God. And if you've ever read Exodus 33 and 34, which is an incredible, incredible dialogue between Moses and God, where Moses says, God says to Moses, look, this is a sinful people, I want to kill them all. Moses says, don't do that, I'm going to stand in the gap for them. Moses says, well, that's fine, I'll let him live, but I'm going to let you go into the promised land, but I'm not going to go with you. Moses says, wait a minute, if you don't go with us, I'm not going either. We're not leaving here without your presence. God says, I'm going to send an angel with you. Moses says, that's not enough. If you don't go with us, if your presence doesn't go with us, we're not going. God says, all right, I'll let you have my presence. I'll take you into the promised land. Moses says, you know what, that's not enough. Show me your glory. Now, are you hearing this? Asking, seeking, knocking. God says, what do you mean show me your glory? If I show you all that I am, it's going to burn you up. You're going to disintegrate. God says, well, wait a minute. Let's do this. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to hide you. I'm going to pass by you. And I'm going to come by. And I'm going to show you Not my fireworks show. Not all my angels. Not all my, you know, amazing things in heaven. What does it say in Exodus 33? It says, when I come by you, I'm going to show you my goodness. It's in the goodness of God being revealed to a broken world that God gets the greatest glory. I'm going to say it again. It's in when the goodness of God is revealed to a broken world that God gets the greatest glory. So look with me in John chapter 17. What we must understand that it is supernatural deeds that bring the greatest glory to the Father. It is the supernatural works that come not from us, although feeding the poor, caring for the orphans, doing justice in a city is part of what we're supposed to do. You know, it can't be all just about just waiting around for miracles. You know, God calls us to go forth and do the mercy of God everywhere we go. But too many times the church has limited ourselves and limited God simply to acts of mercy that can only be done in our own strength, with only what we have in our bank account, with only the people that we have. And when we limit God to that, then we become like the Lions Club and the Kiwanis Club and the Rotary Club. And they're all great things, but they don't have the power of God. We're the only group in town that has the power of God, folks. And you know, what glory comes when God actually multiplies food in your food pantry? You know, we had that in the food pantry in Morton, Illinois. We knew exactly we had about 200 turkeys to give to each family. I mean, we knew it. That's all we had. We had 200 turkeys. The problem is that day we had 250 families show up. Every family got a turkey. I don't know how it happens. It just happens. You know, we just say, Lord, help us. And He did it. So, you know, God gets glory when things like that happen. And we realize that it's not about Him. So, you know, as important as it is, all the mercy works that we do and all the things that are happening in justice and working justice into a culture of a city, which is happening here in Selma, we must believe God for even more. 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 In Hebrews, or in John chapter 17, Jesus says, these things Jesus spoke, lifting His eyes up to heaven and saying, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that the Son may glorify Thee. All whom Thou hast given Him, He may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. I glorified Thee on earth, having accomplished the work which Thou hast given Me to do. And now glorify Thou Me together with Thyself, Father, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was made. That's an amazing statement, but I want you to keep looking here in John 17 and look at verse 22 in John 17. And now He's praying for the disciples, which not only includes the disciples who were with Him then, but it also includes us. It says in verse 22, and the glory which Thou hast given Me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou didst send me and didst love them even as thou didst love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou didst love me before the foundation of the world. You see, the same glory that the Father gave Jesus, he now passes on to us. And he says, now take my glory and let the glory of God go into the earth. Because according to Habakkuk chapter 2, it says the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And, you know, for years I read that chapter and I thought, well, I kind of saw a glory cloud. I thought, okay, God, you're just going to put a glory cloud all over the earth and it's going to be this awesome supernatural thing and it's just going to kind of be neat and everybody will see it. And then it was kind of like, duh. Get it in your head. The way that God gets His glory all over the earth as the waters cover the sea is through you and me. I don't think He's assigned anybody else to carry His glory except frail human flesh. I think angels come and help us, but ultimately it's about you and I carrying the glory of God with the Spirit that raised Jesus' dead body from the grave in our lives. And as we take it into the world, God gets more glory, more glory, more glory, more glory. Because everywhere you and I go, we carry the glory of God. You are carriers of God's glory. And whenever God's glory comes, healing comes. Whenever God's glory comes, demons must leave. Whenever God's glory comes, the impossible happens. So that's why every single one of us in this room, if you want God to receive the greatest glory out of your life, be involved in healing the sick. Be involved in casting out demons. Be involved in raising the dead. Be involved in cleansing the lepers. Be involved in letting the very power that is already residing in you be released into this world. And God gets the greatest glory when you let His glory shine out. So as we think about this tonight, we look at what God has already done with us in terms of healing. And we realize that as we move into this tonight, the testimonies of healing that are coming and going to be happening here in just a few minutes are going to begin to filter throughout all of Selma and throughout this region. And some of you who are from other parts of the country, you're going to go back and you're going to begin to declare the purposes of God. And one of the reasons why I believe God allowed the internet to be created is not just for pornographers and just for people to post cat videos on Facebook. But I really believe it's in the maximum amount of time to get the glory of God and the knowledge of glory of God throughout the whole earth so that we post videos and we declare what God is doing in our midst right now. Because what's happening now in Selma is going to touch the ends of the earth. Not just this meeting, but everything that's happening in Selma. Because as I said the other day, what men have cursed Selma in is being broken and has been broken off of Selma. And now the glory of God is settling upon Selma, and what happens here is going to touch the ends of the earth. And they'll say, how could any good thing come out of Selma? And God says, I'm sending my people throughout the ends of the earth to declare my glory, says the Lord, in Jesus' name. So as we close tonight, we're just going to let the Lord shine up and shine on here. He's going to shine out His glory. He's going to shine it out through all of you. And right now, the Lord has already begun to speak to some people about some things that He wants to do in healing tonight. So we're just going to let the Lord come and bring some words of knowledge. For those of you that aren't aware of words of knowledge, Mark's going to teach more about this tomorrow. But a word of knowledge is basically a gift of the Holy Spirit that comes when ever there's healing, that God wants to bring some healing into the room. And He tells different people in the room about different conditions in their body that he wants to bring healing to. And so I've asked a few folks. I want those that I've already asked, Bishop and any of your leadership, to come up. And if you have words of knowledge, I want you to give it. And what we're going to do is we're going to give the words of knowledge, and they're going to be about conditions in bodies. And when you hear a condition in your body that's given by word of knowledge, I want you to stand. Now, I want to say something to you, and this is very important. If you don't stand, you are not giving God the glory, but you're keeping the glory of God to yourself. Number two, if you don't stand when you hear a word of knowledge, you're actually bringing down the faith of everybody in the room. Because when God gives a word of knowledge, He not only wants to bring healing to you, but He wants to shine out His glory in such a way that other people begin to get faith, that if God is doing it for that condition, He can do it for my condition as well. So when you don't stand for word of knowledge, you may be actually inhibiting others from getting healed. So we're all going to stand if we get a word of knowledge. Is that right? Amen. If we get a word of knowledge about a condition in our body, we're going to stand. So right now, Ron and Randy and Trina and the team from Pennsylvania and Bishop and any of your leadership that ministers in the word of knowledge, do you want to have any of your prophetic team come up too if they have a word of knowledge?
Sure.
Okay. Any of Bishop's prophetic team, if you have a word of knowledge, come on up. Yep. 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 Mark's got the microphone, and he's just going to go right down the line and give word of knowledge. And if the word of knowledge applies to you, then just stand up, and we're going to ask you to remain standing until we get done with all the words of knowledge. So right now, just in Jesus' name, come Holy Spirit. Right now, come Holy Spirit. Right now, raise faith. Raise faith in Jesus' name. God, we're just declaring for Your glory to shine out in this room tonight by doing the impossible, by bringing healing, transformation, and we're dispelling the powers of darkness in Jesus' name. Mark, go for it.
I got two, actually, while you were preaching. Go
ahead.
One high blood pressure, and the other was arterial or artery suffocation. So I'm saying that's like artery blockages. So we already have one healing in a heart. So if you've got any kind of blockages in your body, God wants to heal you. And if you've got high blood pressure issues, God wants to heal you.
Okay. And then just hold on to the mic and just go down one at a time.
Two things. And if the second one doesn't apply, you can stand for the first one. But I will get you to stand up later. All afternoon, I've had pain in my left knee, in the back side of my left knee. And during worship tonight, I felt like there was someone here who has coerced a former or present girlfriend or wife to have an abortion and paid for it. And they're dealing with the guilt.
Very good.
I had an allergic reaction to the skin. It's like I got prickles all over, like there would be a deep stain or something like that. It just explodes. And then the right thumb, where it joins the wrist right now.
Okay. Yeah, left shoulder problem and from an accident. And also, left eye is partial or full blindness from cornea damage.
I want to confirm that.
Okay.
I already experienced that while we were on break at Walmart with my friends who received a prayer for a gentleman. We went away, but as we began to recollect ourselves and see the word, it was helping that. I seems to be it dealt with that gentleman, but maybe it applied also to someone here, and I want to confirm that word. Also, respiratory distress can be very clearly. Three right there. Okay, cool.
Sciatic nerve pain in the right leg.
The right leg.
Neuropathy of the feet and hypothesis. What was the first one? Neuropathy of the feet.
Neuropathy of the feet.
Numbness in your feet. Okay. Also got right leg, in your body, being working up into your hip on the right side. I've got two. One is you have a shoulder issue, your left shoulder that's more anterior. Not necessarily rotator cuff, but more anterior. You have some shoulder issues. Okay. Also, are you Auburn fans? You want to get set free?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we've had a number of words for depression this afternoon and again tonight. So God is relentless after depression tonight in Jesus' name. Okay, anybody else? Okay. All right. So now the first thing we're going to do is I want you to check your bodies out right now, because many times when there is a word of knowledge, the Lord has already brought healing just through the declaration of the word of knowledge when you stood up. So right now, this is what Randy says. Check your body out. If there's no more pain, if you have freedom of movement, if there's something in your body that hurt or there was restricted movement, and now check it out and see if you can move it again and see if there's no more pain, if there's freedom of movement. And if you find that you're at least 80% better, I want you to begin to wave your hands over your head, both hands over your head, declaring that God has healed you at least 80% better. Anybody, check your body out. If you have no more pain in your body and you stood up for something that had pain and you can tell. That's right, right there. Right there. There's one. Hallelujah. There's another one right here. Wave your hands real high for me, please, so I can see. One, two. Yeah, there it is. Three. Yeah, there's three. Hallelujah. Four, right here. Are you waving your hands here? Four. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Come on, somebody praise God, will you? Isn't that amazing? Just in the giving of the word of knowledge. Right there, in Jesus' name. Now here's what we're going to do. You guys are going to get involved in this right now. So everybody gets to play. Everybody smile. Everybody gets to play. I want you to extend your hands out right now to the person that is standing next to you that had a word of knowledge, okay? So if you're not... If you're not standing, extend your hands out to that person right now. Just come over, guys, and just find some. I'm going to release the word of knowledge, folks, to go find somebody to pray for right now, and let's just get around them, and let's just begin to pray right now in Jesus' name. You don't necessarily have to find the person that you had the word of knowledge for, but just find somebody. And Father, in Jesus' name, we just declare your release. Right now in Jesus' name. Father, I just ask you right now to show forth your glory in this place tonight. For I bring healing, transformation, and absolute recovery in the name of Jesus. We command all pain to go right now in Jesus' name. We command every torn ligament, every rotator cuff, every problem with respiratory distress, every problem with backs and necks and any kind of injuries, every problem with blockage in the arteries or in hearts, every word of knowledge has been given tonight, God. In Jesus' name, come in power right now. Now just begin to pray for them, guys, everybody in the room. Just begin to lay hands and just pray for them. Just declare healing in Jesus' name. That's all you have to say. Healing in Jesus' name. Healing in Jesus' name. Healing in Jesus' name. healing in Jesus' name. That's all it takes. You don't have to go into a lot of detail. If the Lord gives you something else to pray besides that, go for it. Healing in Jesus' name. For every person that doesn't have somebody standing with them, healing in Jesus' name. All pain go. All pain go. Power of God fall right now. Power of God fall right now. All in this room. Fall right now in Jesus' name. Let there be a wave of healing across this room right now. A wave of healing in Jesus' name. I break the power of the demonic spirit of depression and oppression in Jesus' name. I break the power of every suicidal thought in the name of Jesus. And I command release from the fog and confusion of depression. And I speak joy, happiness, peace, grace of God over every person. And we command the mountain of depression to come off and go. Move out of this room now. In Jesus' name. Deafness leave in Jesus' name. Blindness leave in Jesus' name. More? Thank you, Jesus. More? Let your glory fall, God. Show off your glory in this room through healing and restoration in Jesus' name. I command TMJ to leave now. All the stress and the pain in the cheekbone. Right now in Jesus' name, let there be peace and rest in the name of Jesus. As you begin to get healing, begin to wave your hands over your head. If pain is leaving you and you begin to get healing, begin, keep waving. Keep waving so we can see you. It's okay. We're not done praying yet, but we're just going to continue. We got one, we got two, we got three, we got four, we got five. Thank you, Jesus. Got six. Hallelujah. There's more. There's more. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Seven. We got seven right here. That's on top of the other four that were healed earlier through the word of knowledge. Thank you, Jesus. More. More. Thank you, Father. We're asking for more, Lord. We're asking for more breakthrough and healing. Come in power, Lord, in Jesus' name. Come and tear down every stronghold of the enemy of sickness and disease and trauma in Jesus' name. More, God. More. Show off your glory to your children tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. More. More. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, if you are... Once again, we're going to do this one more time. If you are 80% better, if you have felt your pain leave and you're 80% better, take both of your hands and wave them like this so that everybody can see you, okay? Somebody, would you count for me, dear? Count for me. Count. Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on. Give glory to God. Keep waving. Keep waving. Keep waving. Keep waving. Keep waving. Keep waving. There's another one. Over your head. Keep waving over your head. Come on, neuropathy? My gosh, that's awesome. That's awesome. How many do we have? Oh, there's more than nine here. Let's see. Would you wave one more time? Real big for me, okay? Put your hands high. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Keep waving over here. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 15 back there. So you got 15 healings so far. Come on, somebody praise God, will you? Is that awesome? Can he give a testimony? Come here, come up and give your testimony real quick. Have a seat for just a second. We're not done. We're not done. We're going to pray for everybody in this room that needs healing tonight before the night's over with. But let's just have a testimony to raise some faith. Go for it, Jonathan.